Father Yahweh, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace, thanking and praising your name for this Sabbath day and for the opportunity to come before you, to give glory to your name, Father, and to praise you, and to come before you, Father, with singing. And, Father, we love you, and we thank you for allowing us to come before you this day. We ask, Father, that you would truly bless your servants, that you would help us to be a humble people before you, and that we would continue to seek your face, and that you would bless us, Father, from your word at this time, that your word would have free course in us, and that it would empower us to do your will, Father. So we thank you for all you've done for us, for our life, health, and strength, and for calling us out of this dark world into your marvelous light, Father, into the footsteps of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah. Help us to walk so that we would keep your covenant law each and every opportunity we can. Again, Father, we know that we're sinners and we fall short, but we have an advocate with you, your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, whose shed blood cleanses all our sins. So help us, Father. Help us to overcome this world and Satan the devil as we cling to you, as we keep your covenant law, and as we try our best, Father, to keep all of your commandments. We thank you for this opportunity. In the name of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, we ask all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You may all be seated. This message is entitled, The Seven Steps to Pentecost. Seven steps to Pentecost are designed to help us reach the law and the spirit of Yahweh. The Torah is light, and the spirit of Yahweh represents life. Yahshua, our Messiah, is the light and the life of man. If we follow the seven steps, we will arrive at enlightenment. Turn to Leviticus chapter 23 for our opening scripture, verse 15 to 22. And you shall count from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, seven Sabbaths shall there be complete. Even to the day after the seventh Sabbath shall you number 50 days, and you shall offer a new meal offering to Yahweh. You shall bring out of your habitations 2 wave loaves of 2/10 parts of an ephah. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven, for first fruits to Yahweh. And you shall present with the bread 7 lambs without blemish, a year old, and 1 young bullock, and 2 rams, and they shall be a burnt offering to Yahweh with their meal offering and their drink offerings, even an offering made by fire of a sweet savor to Yahweh. And you shall offer 1 he-goat for a sin offering and 2 he-lambs, a year old, for a sacrifice of peace offerings. And the priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits, for a wave offering before Yahweh with the 2 lambs. They shall be holy to Yahweh for the priests. And you shall make proclamation on this very day. There shall be a holy convocation to you. You shall do no servile work. It is a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations. And when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field, neither shall you gather the gleaning of your harvest. You shall leave them for the poor and for the sojourner. I am Yahweh, your Elohim. Now, it's telling us here that it is going to be for a new meal offering. It's going to be a wave offering, okay? Now, we know that the wave sheaf was Yahshua the Messiah. He fulfilled that after he was resurrected, the day after the Sabbath. which was a Sunday, this is the weekly Sabbath, okay, is when we start our count. That was the day that Yahshua ascended to the Father as the wave offering, the first fruits, okay, the Bikurim. Now, we are supposed to be first fruits as well. And it says they shall be baked with leaven in verse 17 for first fruits to Yahweh. This is very important for us to understand this, brethren. Now, it said on the day after the Sabbath, the Jews kept Pentecost this past week. Okay, as well as a lot of people that follow the Jews. They kept Pentecost already. There's a problem here. Because the word tells us when we are supposed to count from the day after the Sabbath, which is Sunday. Okay? Now, that first Sabbath that we come to is going to be our first pillar. And that's Chesed. It's hard for me to say this, but it's chesed. It's loving kindness in the Hebrew. It's number 2617. It means benevolence or loving kindness. Kindness from 2616. By implication toward Yahweh, piety, beauty, rarely by opposition, reproof, or subject. Number 2616, favor. See? Turn to Psalm 89. Psalm 89. We're going to start in verse 1. You know, one of the brethren, Javier, used to love to say this word. We took Hebrew together. And chesed, he would pronounce it loving kindness. If you knew Javier, you knew what I'm talking about. The way he spoke, he rhymed. It like he was singing all the time he talked to you. But he used this word a lot because I will sing of the loving kindness, the chesed of Yahweh forever. With my mouth will I make known your faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Your faithfulness will you establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn to David, my servant, your seed will I establish forever and build up your throne to all generations. Drop down to verse 31 in Psalm 89. Verse 31, it says, if they will break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. But my chesed, my loving kindness, will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Once I have sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon, and as a faithful witness in the sky. Selah. See, a faithful witness is one that's going to keep the covenant that Almighty Yahweh presents before us. He tells us to count a certain way, we count that way. He tells us to show up like when he told them to show up for Pentecost. He told them to remain and to be in that place on that day. Those people that kept Pentecost this past week would have missed the Holy Spirit. They would have missed the giving of the law because they did not follow what Yahweh had placed in his word to follow. Psalm 51, verse 1, it says, have mercy upon me, O Elohim, according to your chesed, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. David is asking Yahweh to forgive his sin according to his loving kindness. Speaking of Yahweh, because it's Yahweh's loving kindness, his chesed, that we have this opportunity, brethren. It's only because of him and his son, Yahshua the Messiah. Psalm 26. Psalm 26. Verse 1, we'll read from 1 to 3. It says, judge me, O Yahweh, for I have walked in my integrity. I have trusted also in Yahweh without wavering. Examine me, O Yahweh, and prove me. Try my heart and my mind. For your chesed, your loving kindness, is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth. Think about it. Who is it that you serve? Now, a lot of people, again, going back to the Jews, who are keeping things according to the way they see things, not according to the way Yahweh sees things, okay? Remember what he said about the Pharisees. He said, do as they say, not as they do, because they're hypocrites, in Matthew 23:1. This is our Savior. Now, the Pharisees taught the commandments. They taught the law of Yahweh. But he said, don't do as you see them do. Do as they say, because they're teaching the Torah. They're teaching the commandments. It's just that they're not faithfully keeping them, see, because they were self-righteous. But what I want you to see is that first Sabbath. We count it 7 days. That first Sabbath is chesed. It's loving kindness. That's the first pillar to get us towards where we want to go. Okay? The second pillar is Gevurah. Gevurah is spelled G-E-V-U-R-A-H. It's discipline, justice, strength, restraint, and awe. Deuteronomy chapter 4. And we'll start in verse 32. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 32. For ask now of the days that are past, from where which were before you, since the days that Elohim created man upon the earth, and from the one end of heaven unto the other, whether there has been any such a thing as this great thing is, or has been heard like it. Has a nation ever heard the voice of Elohim speaking out of the fire, as you have heard and lived? Or has Elohim tried to go and take a nation from the middle of another nation by trials, by signs, and by wonders, and by war, and by a mighty hand, and by an outstretched arm, and by great terrors, according to all that Yahweh your Elohim did for you in Egypt before your eyes? To you it was shown, that you might know that Yahweh is Elohim, and there is no other beside him. Out of heaven he made you to hear his voice, that he might instruct you. And upon earth he made you to see his great fire, and you heard his words out of the fire. And because he loved your fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them and brought you out with his presence. Brethren, we don't want to be out of the presence of Yahweh at any time. Now, we're thinking about discipline and justice and strength. He brought Israel out of Egypt with strength. He defeated all the mighty ones of Egypt. says, and he brought you out with his presence, with his great power, his strength, out of Egypt, to drive out nations from before you, greater and mightier than you, to bring you in, to give you their land for an inheritance as at this day. He gave them a promise and delivered. Know therefore this day and lay it to your heart that Yahweh is Elohim in heaven and above and upon the earth beneath. There is no other. There is no other. Yahweh is the living El. All the others are idols. And you shall keep his statutes and his commandments, which I command you this day, that it may go well with you and with your children after you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which Yahweh, your Elohim, gives you forever. Devorah, discipline, justice, strength, restraint, and awe. We have to be in awe of Almighty Yahweh, our living El, because he is an awesome, mighty one. You think about all the things he's done for you. As far as you can think back, think about it. I know I was talking to a young man the other day. He told me some things about, you know, he could have been killed. He had a rough life. And, you know, I remember being at a house party. And there was a guy, this was in Baltimore, and there was a guy there. I was dancing with his girlfriend. And he got upset. Of course, he had a gun. He wanted to shoot me. My buddy that was with me, he was my best friend at the time, named Bobby, he said, "We got to go." I said, "We're having a good time." He said, "We got to go." So we left. And he explained to me later that the boyfriend was going to shoot me because I was dancing with his girlfriend. I said, "Well, why would you bring your girlfriend to a party and she can't dance with anybody?" He said, "Well, that's just the way it is." I said, "Well, you know what? Thank you for, you know, escorting me out, even though I was having a good time." But you don't know all the close calls you've had. We don't really know all of the things that Yahweh has done for us, maybe at this time. You might find out later that, oh, man, you just missed. Me and Isaiah was riding the other day, and we had the green light. Somebody comes roaring through the red light. Second later, or 2 seconds, if we would have just been earlier, we would have been T-bone. Yahweh just blessed us. I mean, they just went through the light like they had the green. And they were moving. They weren't just, you know, going at 20 miles an hour. They were probably going about 40, 45 miles an hour. And we were just preserved and saved just that, just by a couple seconds. And I told Isaiah, "Man, this is crazy. Just flew through the red light. Like it wasn't there." But this is why I want you to understand each of these Sabbaths between now and today represent one of these pillars. Okay? And they are to strengthen us to get us to where we have to go, which is tomorrow. See? Now, Proverbs chapter 3. Turn to Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 5. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. It says, "Trust in Yahweh with all your heart, and lean not upon your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path." If you trust in Yahweh, you put that trust in him, he's going to direct your paths. He's going to tell you which way you need to go to get to the kingdom, because that's our goal. We want to be in the kingdom, okay? And it says, "In all your ways acknowledge him." That means everything you do, you acknowledge Yahweh, and he's going to direct your paths. He's going to bless you. "Be not wise in your own eyes." Too many people are. They think they know more than Yahweh. "Fear Yahweh and depart from evil." It will be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. Honor Yahweh with your substance and with the first fruits of all your increase. I'll read that one again. Honor Yahweh with all your substance, with the first fruits of all your increase. So shall your barns be filled with plenty, and your vat shall overflow with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of Yahweh. If he's correcting you, it's because he loves you. If your parents don't correct you, they don't care about you. Think about it. How many of our children do we just let play on the railroad tracks? We used to live right next to the railroad tracks. And I guarantee you, if they did it, which I'm sure they did, they were misbehaving because their mother told them not to go on those train tracks. I know, because they put quarters on the tracks and let the trains go over them and flatten them. I know they were over there. The evidence. See, the key is, you know, they knew they were in trouble if they got caught on those train tracks. Because it seems like every so often somebody got killed by a train here in Lebanon. I'm serious. And they're big. How can you not see it? It makes a lot of noise when it's coming at you. You know, but people played on the train tracks and they got killed. And some may have been drunk or whatever, but still. What I'm saying is your parents are correcting you for a reason. They want you to succeed. They want you to have a good life. They want you to know Yahweh. They want you to have a relationship with Yahweh. See, when we develop that relationship, and that's something that we do as parents, we have to do it, but you have to do it as well. It's not something that you can copy off of us and say, well, you know what? My parents are there. They serve Yahweh, so I'm good. That may be to an extent, okay? Because there's this age of accountability at 20. You know, once you get 20, guess what? You're on your own. You're on your own. You have to make that step. You have to make your calling and election sure. You have to get to that point where you understand what these seven pillars are all about. I'm going to see if I can find this the way I need to find it. Seven steps to Pentecost. First one. Chesed. Second one, Gevurah. I'm hoping that it will come up. I didn't get time to print it out, so I have it here. I'm going to read it as soon as it loads. See, my computer has this Microsoft Office work. Yeah. It's coming. It's just forever. Oh, boy. While that's loading, I got to move on so we can make up the time. Well, it looks like it was all started. you can start right down the third one is Tiferet. T-I-F-E-R-E-T. Tiferet. It means beauty, harmony, compassion, balance. Now, that would have been on day 21 of our count. After beauty, it's harmony, compassion. We know compassion to be love, and balance. know what? I got a shortcut. I know how to do this. All right. Turn over to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33, verse 12. And Moses said to Yahweh, "See, you say to me, bring up this people, and you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name. And you have also found favor in my sight." Now we know what favor is. See? "Now therefore I pray you, if I have found favor in your sight, show me now your ways that I may know you, to the end that I may find favor in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people. And yes, they are the people of Yahweh, if they keep his commandments. And we are the people of Yahweh if we keep his commandments. If we say that we're Yahweh's servants, but we don't serve him, we can't say we're his people." Think about it. Remember, the Sabbath is a sign between Yahweh and his people. Now, my thing is loaded, so I'm going to go right back to it. It says, week two is Gevurah. If love, Chesed, is the bedrock of human expression, discipline, Gevurah, is the channels through which we express love. It gives our life and love direction and focus. Take a laser beam. Its potency lies in the focus and concentration of light in one direction rather than fragmented light beams dispersed in all different directions. Now, when you think about this, what does light represent? The Torah. The Torah is light. It's the light of life. What Yahweh has given us, when he has given us his Torah, he's given us the direction that we need to go in. Okay? Now, one of the first things, the main thing that was done in the Old Testament on the Mount, Moses got the Ten Commandments. He came, and that was the first thing he did when he said, make sure, cleanse yourselves. You know, don't come to this mountain. Don't even come to the foot of the mountain. Or you'll be thrust through because Yahweh is coming down. Yahweh came down and gave them the law, the Torah. He gave them his light. Okay? The second thing that happened in the New Testament, they were all told to be in one place, and there was the giving of the Spirit the same day on Pentecost. The Holy Spirit was given to Yahweh's people. That's important for us to understand. These two things were done on the same day. Now, the underlying Gevurah, discipline and measure, concentrates and directs our efforts, our love in the proper directions. Another aspect of Gevurah is respect and awe. Healthy love requires respect for the one you love. We respect our spouses, okay? That's where the fidelity comes in. We have to do the same with Yahweh. We can't go what they call church hopping and go over here, you know, to get this on this day and go over here and get this on the next day. Yahweh gives us a specific commandment to keep. Like I said, these people are keeping Pentecost the middle of the week. because they're not following the commandments. Yahweh gives us a direct command. He tells us to do it, and that's what we need to do. We can't question what he tells us to do. It's right here. It's written. You know, and a lot of people say, well, how is it that you get 10 different people reading it and they get 10 different interpretations? This is pretty blatant. It's pretty direct when it says keep the Sabbath. What's Sabbath in Spanish, Felix? Sabado. It's the Sabbath. It's not Sunday. It's not Monday. It's not Tuesday. It's not Wednesday. It's not Thursday. It's the seventh day of the week. It's the Sabbath. And this is why we worship Yahweh on Sabbath. Because it's commanded in the commandments, right? It tells us also to honor our father and mother. And this is for all the young people. It's not just, trust me, I was there once too. But still, we were raised to honor our parents. That's not something new. If you disrespected even a neighbor and your parents found out about it, you were chastised. You got whipped. You might even got whipped by the neighbor. And you're going to go tell on them and you get another whipping because you disrespected the neighbor. See, Yahweh is really wonderful. That's why one of the aspects of Gavurah is awe. You have to be in awe of Yahweh and his intellect, because all of the wonderful things that he has given us in his word is directing us to his kingdom. And that's what the seven pillars do. I mean, when you think about it, it's directing us to the kingdom. Now, it says the underlying intention and motive in discipline is love. Why do we measure our behavior? Why do we establish standards and expect people to live up to them? Only because of love. Even judgment of the guilty is only to express love. In other words, punishment is not vengeance. It is just another way to express love by cleansing anything antithetical to love. Tolerance of people should never be confused with tolerance of behavior. On the contrary, love for people includes wanting them to be the best they can be and therefore helping them be aware of anything less than perfect behavior. This is awesome because Yahweh is the one that's directing us to keep his covenant. He has put it out there for us. He's called us. Now, when you think about why he has called us, is it because you were better than anyone else? No, he told Israel, you were the least of all the people. And when he set his love upon them, when he gave them his covenant. Now, each one of us has entered into that covenant, or should be. If you haven't already, I know some of the young people haven't been baptized. I understand that. But it's a matter of time. See? You know the truth. And if you know the truth, you got to take the plunge. You got to get it done. You got to put Yahweh first. You need his Holy Spirit in your life. You must have it. Because this is what's going to help you overcome the problems out there in the world. Okay. Chesed, loving kindness of Gavurah, is the love in discipline, awareness of the intrinsic love that feeds discipline and judgment. It is the recognition that your personal discipline and the discipline you expect of others is only an expression of love. And that comes across when disciplining. It is the understanding that we have no right to judge others. We have a right only to love them, and that includes wanting them to be their best. Ask yourself, when I judge and criticize another, is it in any way tinged with any of my own contempt and irritation? Is there any hidden satisfaction in his failure? Or is it only out of love for the other. Now, this is an exercise for today. Think about this. Before you criticize someone today, think twice if it is out of the care for them and out of love. Now, we're in Exodus chapter 33. I didn't finish. Now, remember, Tiferet is beauty, harmony, compassion. Compassion is love and balance. Now, this is Moses speaking with Yahweh. I'll go back to verse 14. It says, "And he said, my presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. And he said to him, if your presence goes not with me, carry us not up from here." Moses did not want to be carried away from that place out of the presence of Yahweh. He wanted the presence of Yahweh in his life. And we have to feel that same way, brethren. Each one of us has to want the presence of Yahweh to be in our lives. For verse 16, by what now shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not that you go with us so that we are separated, I and your people, from all the people that are on the face of the earth? And Yahweh said to Moses, I will do this thing also that you have spoken, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name. And he said, show me, I pray you, your glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you. And will proclaim the name of Yahweh before you. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live. And Yahweh said, behold, there is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. And it shall come to pass while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. And I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face cannot be seen. Almighty Yahweh protects his people. See, not only is it discipline, justice, strength, restraint, but the awe of Yahweh. When we come before Yahweh, we have to acknowledge the awe of his presence. We have to acknowledge that we are merely, you know, like a minuscule ant to us. You know, when you look at the relationship, that little ant, and you look at us, how great we must seem to that ant. But see, we have to stand in awe of Almighty Yahweh. That's that second pillar. Again, the third pillar, Tiferet, we're talking about the beauty of Yahweh and the compassion, the love that he has for us. Turn to Psalm 27. Psalm 27, verse 1 and 4. Yahweh is my light. He's the Torah. He is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Yahweh is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers came upon me to eat up my flesh, even my adversaries and my foes, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should arise against me, even then will I be confident. One thing have I asked of Yahweh, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of Yahweh all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of Yahweh, the Tiferet of Yahweh, and to inquire in his temple. Almighty Yahweh is truly an awesome mighty one, because he's the living El. He's the one that he's the only one that can give us eternal life. Taken forever to load. Again, while I'm waiting for this thing to load, we'll go to the next pillar. So we have three pillars already, and this is day 7, day 14, day 21, and now we're on day 28. Day 28 is Nesach, N-E-T-Z-A-C-H, Nesach. It means victory, endurance, fortitude, and ambition. N-E-T-Z-A-C-H, Nesach. It means victory, endurance, fortitude, and ambition. You know, keeping with the course. Staying the course, you know, not giving up. Because on day 28, where are you? You weren't halfway there. Turn over to Psalm chapter 20. Psalm 20. Yahweh, answer you in the day of trouble. The name of the Elohim of Jacob set you up on high. Send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. Remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice, Selah. Grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your counsel. We will triumph in your salvation, and in the name of our Elohim we will set up our banners. Yahweh Nissi. Yahweh, fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that Yahweh saves his anointed. He will answer from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots, some in horses. But we will make mention of the name of Yahweh, our Elohim. They are bowed down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save Yahweh. Let the king answer us when we call. Yahweh is going to give us the victory as long as we're faithful, as long as we are keeping his commandments. Okay? When you think about it, it does take discipline. It does take endurance. When you're running a race, it's not, you know, the race is not always to the strong. Or the swiftest, right? Remember the tortoise and the hare. Yahweh can give you a victory because he can slow down that, you think about the army that came against Israel. Israel was a small nation, and yet you had all of these nations which were greater and mightier, as it says in Deuteronomy chapter 7. But Yahweh lifted them up. He gave them the victory over those nations who were mightier than they were. Because the battle is Yahweh's. It's not ours. It's not our battle. All we have to do is be faithful. And he will fight the battles for us. He'll give us those victories. And that's one of the things, like I said, Nesach is victory, endurance, fortitude, and ambition. Psalm 98. Psalm 98, verses 1 to 3. O sing to Yahweh a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm has worked salvation for him. Yahweh has made known his salvation, his righteousness, as he openly showed in the sight of the nation. He has remembered his loving kindness and his faithfulness toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our Elohim. Think about where we've come from, brother. Think about where we're going. Our goal is the kingdom of Yahweh. You know, some of us grew up in the city, in the south, some in the north, some in other countries, okay? But our goal is to be in the kingdom of Yahweh. It doesn't matter from where we've come from. It matters where we're going. And this is where the endurance comes in the victory. The victory is Yahweh's. He's going to give us that victory as long as we're faithful, as long as we are doing his will. Now, we have four of the pillars to get us to where we're going. And it looks like this one is almost come up so I can read it. I need one of those computers that can multitask. All right. Praise Yahweh. It's happening. Okay, now I'm gonna give a how do you want to put that? A little can't even think of the word now. No, not a sidebar. I want to give a, you know, so people won't take it the wrong way, because this is from the Ten Sephirot, which is from the Kabbalah. And a lot of people, when they hear Kabbalah, they get themselves, you know, oh, he's gone over the deep end or whatever. But no, Kabbalah's do have truth, is a lot of information, and what happens is that you have to understand and weigh things. There's a balance, and this is one of the definitions here of the Tiferet, which is the balance. And when we understand that Yahweh is giving us this information, the rabbis that put this together, all of them, like when I was teaching Pardes. Pardes is also from the same information. But it shows you that there are certain levels of understanding between the literal level down to the sod level. They have four levels. And a lot of what's being taught, and a lot of people want to teach on that realm of the sod level, whereas though it's like your meat, your heavy meat. So most people who are on milk won't get it. Yahshua taught on the sod level, but he also taught on Duresh. He taught on the lower levels, but he also taught in parables, because he said that it's not for the sons of disobedience. This is information that is for his people. And that's why he taught in parables. So when we look at this, I'm going to read it as it says here, but again, I will clarify what we need to understand. Tiferet is the sixth of the ten Sephirot and the third of the emotive attributes with creation. Tiferet appears in the configuration of the Sephirot along the middle axis directly beneath the Aat, or Venice Kenner, when Da'at is excluded, and this is, I said, this is dealing with the 10 Sephirot. But what I want you to understand is this. It says, Tiferet is associated in the soul with the power to reconcile the conflicting inclinations of Chesed and Gevura, so as to allow for focused compassion, thus accounting for its designation in Kabbalah as Midat HaRachamim, the attribute of mercy. The beauty of Tiferet manifests itself through the elegant blend of emotive gesture implicit within its expression. The root of Tiferet can also connote the act of taking pride. As such, it represents the pride that Yahweh, as it were, takes in his people Israel. When we serve and praise Yahweh from the consciousness of Tiferet, we do so with the intent of arousing this pride, not pride of man, okay? Like Yahweh said after Yahshua was baptized, the angel announced, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." Because Yahshua did no sin. See, he was doing that which was right. He did the will of Yahweh at all times. And that we can follow. See, we should be able to walk in those footsteps. But we know, and he knows, that there are so many things that we need to understand. Now, I'm not going to get into the rest of that because it goes into a lot of the Kabbalist thinking and the numbers, the Sumatra. They go into the numbers and how every number means certain things. And we know that, yes, numbers have meaning, like the number 7, the Shabbat, the number of completion. Yahweh completed the week in its creation. Number 5 is hold. Spelled H-O-W-D, pronounced H-O-D-E, means humility, splendor. Now, I didn't look all of these up in the Strong's, but hold I did look up. Hold is number 1935. It's from an unused root, grandeur, such as an imposing form and appearance. And every time they saw what they considered the Almighty, they talked about this imposing figure with the beard and, you know, his eyes were like a flame of fire, but they were describing, actually, in Revelation 1, they were describing who? It wasn't the Almighty Yahweh. It was describing Yahshua. So when you look at Hod, and like I said, Hod is humility, splendor. We're looking at the splendor of Almighty Yahweh. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 4. It says, "The reward of humility and the fear of Yahweh is riches, honor, and life." Riches, honor, and life. Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 3. It says, "Seek Yahweh, all you meek of the earth, that have kept his ordinances." Again, that's what we're doing. We're keeping the ordinances, the commandments of Yahweh, because he told us to keep this count. Now, day 35 is the fifth of these pillars, and that's hold. It says, "Seek Yahweh, all you meek, you humble of the earth, that have kept his commandments, his ordinances. Seek righteousness, seek meekness." That's humility. "It may be that you will be hid in the day of Yahweh's anger." And if you're a humble people, what did he say about Moses? Moses was the humblest man on the earth. Yet he was the leader of all of these rebellious people. He led them out of Egypt. And they rebelled constantly. And Yahweh told Moses, look, I'm going to smote them. I'll strike them down. I'll make a great nation out of you. And what did Moses do? No. He fell on his knees and asked Yahweh to not kill them. You know? He reasoned with Yahweh for their life. Yet they spent 40 years in the wilderness dying in their own sin because they were not faithful. And what did who went into the promised land? The children. The children under the age of accountability other than Yahshua and Caleb. So when we think of humility, we think of the splendor of Yahweh. Turn to Job chapter 37. Job 37, verse 22, on down to 24, it says, out of the north comes golden splendor. Touching the Almighty, we cannot find him out. No, out of the north comes golden splendor. Eloah has upon him terrible majesty. Touching the Almighty, we cannot find him out. He is excellent in power and in justice and plenteous righteousness. He will not afflict. Men do therefore fear him. He regards not any that are wise of heart. You have to be humble of heart to be able to be in his presence. He's not going to stand for those who are haughty, those who are arrogant. He's going to destroy. Psalm 8, verse 1. It says, O Yahweh, our sovereign, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory upon the heavens. That glory is his splendor. You can substitute splendor for glory throughout the scriptures. Now, the glory of Yahweh, his majesty, when we think about Yahweh, it's awesome to think about our mighty one. When people go before a king, they kind of get a little shaky, see, because they're going before royalty. But we're talking about the king of the universe, Almighty Yahweh. See? So we should be humble to think that we're in his presence. Not only today, but any Sabbath, any service that we come before Almighty Yahweh. In Revelation chapter 1, it says in verse 14, and his head and his hair were white as wool, white as white wool, as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like burnished brass. And if it had been refined, as it had been refined in a furnace, and his voice as the voice of many waters, and he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth proceeded a sharp two-edged sword. His countenance was as the sun shines in its strength. For brightness, you think about the sun. When you look into the sun, you can't see anything for the brightness. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as one dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, fear not. I am the Aleph and the Tau, the Alpha and the Omega. I am the first and the last, the living one. And I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and of the grave. Write therefore the things which you saw, and the things which are, and the things which shall come to pass after this. The mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven assemblies, and the seven lampstands are the seven assemblies. So we see through the seven steps, we have gone through seven pillars. And now, the next one, number six, is Yesod. Y-E-S-O-D. It means foundation, bonding to Yahweh. We know what the foundation of the temple is, the chief cornerstone. Psalm 118, verse 22. Turn with me there. And that's week six. The stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. This is Yahweh's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which Yahweh has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, we plead you, O Yahweh. O Yahweh, we plead you, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that comes in the name of Yahweh. We have blessed you out of the house of Yahweh. Yahweh is El and has given us light. He's given us his Torah. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even to the horns of the altar. You are my El, and I will give thanks to you. You are my Elohim, I will exalt you. Oh, give thanks to Yahweh, for he is good, for his loving kindness endures forever. That Chesed endures forever. 1 Peter chapter 2. Yesod is the foundation, the bonding to Yahweh. How do we bond to Yahweh? It says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, therefore putting away all wickedness and guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking. See, as Yahweh's people, we shouldn't be participating in any of this. You understand? We should have none of this coming out of our mouths. No evil speaking. As newborn babes long for the spiritual milk which is without guile, that you may grow by it to salvation. That's where we want to go. We want to receive the salvation of our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah. If you have tasted that Yahweh is gracious, to whom is coming a living stone, rejected of men, but with Yahweh elect. And Yahshua was rejected. Read Isaiah 53. He was rejected of men. He was the king of Israel, and they rejected him. He fulfilled every one of the prophecies, and they rejected him. The Jews don't read Isaiah 53 in their parshas. See, the rabbis choose the portion of scriptures they read. And this is one of the reasons, I'm not saying anything wrong with the parshas or reading the parshas. It's just that it's guided. Okay? It's guided. And a lot of people are taken away with, oh, we're reading the parsha for this day. And what I let them know is, when are you going to read Isaiah 53? When are you going to read about our Savior? See, because they don't. They don't have it as a part of the parsha. See? Think about what Yahweh is doing in your life. Think about what he wants you to do. Again, we're at number six. We're at that almost next to the last pillar. And it's bonding. It's bonding. It's building that foundation between you and Yahweh. It's time for you to bond so that you can get to the next level, which is the kingdom. Because this is the direction. This is where we're trying to get to, brethren. This is where we want to go. It says in verse 4, to whom is coming a living stone, rejected indeed of men, but with Yahweh elect, precious. You also as living stones, because each one of us has to be a block in that new temple that's being constructed, who being laid on the foundation of Yahshua the Messiah. And trust, if you're not living right, you won't be able to be a part of that temple. You won't be able to be built upon because you'll be crushed because of the truth of Yahshua. It says, living stones are built up a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to Yahweh through Yahshua the Messiah. He's the only door we can go through, brethren. Because it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he that believes on him shall not be put to shame. I'm sorry to say the Jewish people have been taught that he hasn't come yet. They don't believe on Yahshua. Yahshua is evident in every one of the messianic passages in the scripture. All of the prophecy, even David said about his sovereign, sit on my right hand while I make the earth your footstool. They weren't talking about David. They were talking about his seed, Yahshua the Messiah. For you, therefore, that believe is the preciousness, but for such as disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, the same was made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, for they stumble at the word being bent, to which also they were appointed. But you are an elect race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for Yahweh's own possession, that you may show forth the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who in time past were no people, but now are the people of Elohim, who have had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And it's only through Yahweh that we have obtained this mercy, through Yahshua, our Savior. Pillar number 7, that's today, brethren. Day 49, Malchut, M-A-L-C-H-U-T. It means kingdom, nobility, sovereignty, leadership. Psalm 110. Psalm 110, verse 1, it says, Yahweh says to my sovereign, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Yahweh will send forth the rod of your strength out of Zion. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people offer themselves willingly in the day of your power. In holy array, out of the womb of the morning, you have the dew of your youth. Yahweh has sworn and will not repent. You are a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Yahweh at your right hand will strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He will judge among the nations. He will fill the places with dead bodies. He will strike through the head in many countries. He will drink of the brook in the way. Therefore will he lift up the head. Colossians chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. If then you were raised together with the Messiah, seek the things that are above, where the Messiah is, seated on the right hand of Yahweh. Set your mind on the things that are above, brethren, not on the things that are upon the earth. For you died, and your life is hid with the Messiah in Yahweh. When the Messiah, who is our life, shall be manifested, then shall you also be manifested with him in glory. We want to be in the kingdom of Yahweh, brethren. That's that last pillar. Day 49. That's today. Malchut. For our closing scripture, turn over to Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19. In the third month, we're in the third month now, brethren, after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, we've come out of sin as well. Egypt was a type of sin. That same day they came into the wilderness of Sinai, and when they had departed from Rephidim and had come to the wilderness of Sinai, they encamped in the wilderness, and there Israel encamped before the mount. And Moses went up to Elohim, and Yahweh called to him out of the mountain, saying, in this manner shall you say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession from among all peoples, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. And this is what happened on the day of Pentecost. Exodus 19 led them up to the law, the giving of the commandments. We know what Yahweh requires of us, brethren. Seven steps to Pentecost. Step one, day seven, was chesed, or loving kindness. Step two was gevura, discipline. Step three is tiferet, beauty of Yahweh. Step four was Nesach, victory. Step five is Hod, humility or splendor. Step six is Yesod, the foundation, bonding to Yahweh. And today is Malchut, the kingdom, nobility, sovereignty, and leadership. We want to be in the kingdom. It's not for us to condemn anyone. It is up to us to show love and give the correct information according to our knowledge of the word of Yahweh. Because we're supposed to be directing people as we are being directed. See, when someone comes to you and asks you of the hope that is within you, you're not going to lie to them. You're not going to send them away and say, well, I don't know. You've got to tell them of that hope that's within you. You got to let them know that which Yahweh has placed in your heart. He placed eternity, as he says in Ecclesiastes, in each one of our hearts. And we want to get to the kingdom of Yahweh. And for us to do that, we have to go through each one of these pillars, which we have each week. And like I said, today is day 49. We have one more day to count. And at sundown, we'll count that. May Yahweh bless you as you continue to serve him and to draw upon his spirit from his word. At this time, I'd like to ask my brother Felix Pinero if he would come and close service with a word of prayer. Would you all please rise at this time?
Draw your eyes and bow your head. Come to before Almighty Yahweh this time. Padre Santo que estás en el cielo, te damos gracias, Padre, en esta hora, que venimos delante de tu presencia una vez más, dándote gracias por lo que por gracia hemos recibido. Gracias, Padre, pedimos que bendiga a cada hermano y cada hermana que están aquí presentes en esta hora, Padre. Dame las fuerzas que necesitamos y bendice a cada uno de nosotros, y a los que oyen en la emisora, en la radio. Gracias, Padre, por tu amor y tu misericordia. Gracias, Padre, por tu Hijo, que vino a este mundo a derramar su sangre por cada uno de nosotros. Gracias, Padre, por todo lo que tú haces con nosotros. In Yahshua's name we pray. Hallelujah.
Truly speaking in tongues, we are going to close with number 32, more love, more power.
Oh, my God.